It is good to be here again.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come to you now aware that we are insufficient for these things. But your gracious Spirit can take stammering words and accomplish what's needful. Would you do that for us now? We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The verse for our consideration this evening is from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. A short verse. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. I'm going to pull a Johnny Carter on you. I have his permission to do that. Weary. I can't give you the South Arkansas rendition, but Mr. Webster says, weary is exhausted, physically or mentally, fatigued, spent, impatient, or dissatisfied because of long continuance of a thing, tedious, irksome, weary. And here we have a Holy Spirit-inspired injunction. Be not weary in well-doing. Best we heed it. Yes, it is difficult. And the instruction may not be absolute. For instance, on the second Sunday after Jesus rose, when Thomas was there, Jesus said to him, be not faithless, but believing. You and I have heard mothers say to a child, don't be naughty. Don't touch anything. Now these are not absolutes. Be still. Can James do that? No. Weariness may not be in and of itself a sin, but failure to note and correct the situation is sure to lead to sin. I read in John 4:6, Jesus, being weary, sat thus at the well. And he resorted to alleviating that condition. He sat. And he came through without sin. I usually do not fare so well. Elijah came through the grueling contest on Mount Carmel with flying colors. But he was quailed under the threats of Jezebel. He fled. He prayed and asked for himself that he might die. He was weary, exhausted, spent, and so complaining. Our text refers to well-doing. Yes, preaching the word is well-doing. Praying to God, visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, contributing to good and deserving causes. But in Caesarea, Peter preached in the house of Cornelius, and he said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Now, when did he do good? Well, we know that he healed the sick, that he cleansed the lepers, that he raised the dead. These were good works. But I posit that he always did good works. He was able to say in John 8:29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So, in the carpenter's shop, shaving the wood, he was doing good. The ordinary, needful activities of life, the mundane matters of the day, he did it as to the Father. He said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he did that. I read in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. He was well doing all of his days. Every facet of life was lived out Godward, not just his cross work, but all of his contacts with people. I am amazed at his endurance, at his patience and long suffering. When he took his disciples apart for a rest, the crowd figured out where he was going and came there. Was he vexed? No. He received them. He received them. Yes. Now, there are many here tonight who are preachers, and you have a heavy load of responsibility, not only in the pulpit, but Paul wrote to Timothy, you have a big responsibility at home. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Are you here tonight and weary? Relax. Cheer up. I have a word for you.
Amen.
Fathers and mothers, you are here. God has given you great responsibilities. And there seem to be unending demands, unexpected problems, great heartaches. This word is for you. be not weary in well doing. Well, suppose that you say, I am young and I have none of these heavy loads that you were talking about. Listen, you will very soon. And how wise, how profitable it would be for you to be prepared before the test comes. Elsewhere, Paul wrote in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This says that the testing will endure for a while, and we should not faint, so that we will receive a full reward. The wise man says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. A fainting soldier on the battlefield is of no use. So, the reluctant prophet, Jonah, finally did as he was commanded, but he was out of step with the heart of God.
Right.
And it took a heat stroke to sober him up to the reality of God's mercy. I say sober him up to the reality of God's mercy. I read Jonah 4 verse 6. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God recovered the reluctant prophet. And you may say, it does not say that Jonah was restored. It does not say that. But you know God. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the one that started with Jonah finished with Jonah. But he was fainting. Well, all of us are called into the vineyard. I read in Matthew 20, verse 28, and he said, came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Now, going to the vineyard is not a sightseeing trip. It is not a pleasure outing. One goes to the vineyard to work. The sun gets hot. That's what we're called to. Or, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We are enlisted as soldiers of His, and we're not having a Boy Scout bivouac.
Right.
This is the real thing. Now, working, we may become fatigued. What then? There are three things that I want to call to your attention. We're called to rest. We're called upon to remember. And then to repose. Let's talk about rest. Jesus was traveling from Galilee to Judea, and He must needs go through Samaria. He came to Sychar, and being weary, He sat at the well. Elijah, after the Mount Carmel experience, fled, and under the juniper tree slept, and was bidden by the angel to rise and eat. Elijah was given hoe cakes made with angels' fingers. The 12 apostles were sent on a preaching mission. It was great. They had been given power over unclean spirits. They healed the sick. They preached the gospel. They saw wonderful things take place. There were long hours. This was not a 9-to-5 job. Were they busy? Yes. Were they weary? They would not have admitted it to each other. But let me read Mark 6, verse 30. Puts it this way. "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." The Master knew. He knew their need. Now, I have an advantage that some of you do not share. I don't know the Greek. And so, when I read leisure, I just equate it with spare time. There was no leisure. And so you ask, you mean God is pleased when I play? I think so, if you do it as to Him.
Yes. Yes.
A friend of mine, you may have known a long time ago, a pastor in Houston, was named Frank Fort. Gathered around him was a group of young men who were interested in the Bible and interested in ministry. And he would say to them, "Go on out and exercise." And they said, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." He said, "That little prophet is what you need." You need it. So when we are weary, we need rest. I think our Lord was tired after a busy day of preaching. In Mark 4, verse 38, they were in a ship going over to the other side. Where was he? What was he doing? I read in verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He was resting. Now, by rest, I do not necessarily mean idleness. One may rest without becoming idle. My mother was an astute woman. As a young woman, she was a widow with five children. It was needful that some work get accomplished, and she was masterful in the accomplishment of it. And we worked, but as I said, she was an astute woman. She perceived when we were flagging. And so she would say, "Children, let's come over here and do this for a while." And we changed jobs and did some other work and had a great time. She changed the activity, and so we rested. But not only are we to rest, we are to remember. We need to remember. Rest is important. But also call to mind. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the apostle is addressing some people who are facing some very difficult times. But he said to them, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint. When thou art rebuked of him for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." They had forgotten. And he stirs up their mind. And so he says in verse 12, "Lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees." We do need to remember. Remember what all? Well, when I get tired, I need to remember what I'm going through is not unusual, uncommon. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says it this way, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. need to remember that. In Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15, we have the Lord departing on a journey, giving endowments to His servants. To one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. The Lord knew the ability of the servant. Now, the two-talent man may have felt competent to handle 5. But the Lord knew. There are some things I just can't handle. And my master knows it. He does not assign that to me. We do need to remember that what He calls me to do, He equips me for, and He provides what is needful for me to accomplish His purpose if I am faithful. I hear seldom do I hear this, but I hear, let somebody else do it. I have done my part. It is time for somebody else to do this. By the time that gets said, it is time for somebody else to do that. In the time that the letter to the Hebrews was written, they were going through really fiery trials. Let me read Hebrews 10, verse 32, call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He encourages them to remember. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Don't forget who is in charge. Don't forget what your work is all about. In the parable that our Lord told in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, even as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. The king says to them on the right hand, you know the story, but he concludes by saying, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. We are serving Him. You get tired of serving people. Our work is not primarily that. We are serving Him. It is for Him. It is not for your board. It is not to please the WMU. It is not to please your wife. It is not even to please yourself. Paul could say, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, I know nothing against myself, but I am not hereby justified. He that judgeth me is the Lord. And He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Remember that. I want to please Him. And He is the one who will evaluate my work. For weariness, there is rest. We need to remember. And then we should repose, relax in Him. Again, Hebrews 10:36, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Can you wait? You must wait His season. The wise man said, to every thing there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And Daniel said in Daniel 2:21 that He changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings, He sets up kings, He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. Our God is unwearied except for religious pretension. They weary Him. He says in Isaiah 1, verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. But otherwise, God is not worn out. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The secret to the weariness problem is self-control. And this is one of the listed fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 reads like this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I am told that we may translate temperance, self-control. And if that is so, am I then to have an iron will? This is not commanded. Not all are indomitable. No, it is the fruit of the Spirit. He gives, I receive, I have. Did you follow that sequence? He gives, I receive, then I have it. And where is the glory then? I received it. I didn't generate it. He gave it. The glory is His. Like He says in Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. He can give. He can give you self-control. Did Elijah have it under the juniper tree? No, he lost it. But God is merciful.
Yes.
He can supply. He can refresh. He can use again. Are you weary? It's time to rest, to remember, and to repose. Our God is not a cruel taskmaster. He is merciful. He is gracious. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Thank you.
Amen.